Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Karen and I are very proud to co-host this very unique and educational radio show all about dogs. We're here Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30, broadcasting live every week on WNJC 1360 AM. Karen and I are both professional dog trainers in New Jersey, and we both have years of experience working with all breeds of dogs with all sorts of special needs and issues. We talk to people about their dogs each day, and we've both come to the realization that pet parents most often don't have a clear understanding of the very animals that reside in their homes. So that's why we bring this program to you every week, and in order to help you learn why dogs do the things they do. Some of the topics we've discussed recently have to do with how to house train both puppies and adult rescue dogs. We've talked about the need for giving our dogs regular walks every day, but we've also discussed the importance of providing dogs with mentally stimulating and challenging activities to keep their brains thinking about appropriate things rather than allowing them to resort to destroying your things and barking all day and stealing your undies and becoming delinquents. If you're a first-time listener and you'd like to catch up on the discussions we've had on the air for the last few years, you can listen to our podcasts by going to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, or Karen's website, www.thedogsupernanny.com. Be careful, though. You may wind up getting addicted to us. We have a special guest this morning. His name is Michael McCann. Michael is the president of the Greyhound Project. He and his wife are from Randolph, Massachusetts, and they live with their three greyhounds and also provide foster care for retired racing greyhounds until they're adopted into their forever homes. Michael will be talking to us today about greyhounds because April is National Adopt-a-Greyhound Month. Before we speak to Michael, please let my co-host Karen Fazio tell you about her services as the Dog Super Nanny.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. This morning we're speaking to Michael McCann about greyhounds. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Good morning, Reedy.
Good morning. Can you tell us about the Greyhound Project and National Adopt a Greyhound Month?
Right. The Greyhound Project was started in 1992 by some greyhound adopters who noticed that greyhound adoption agencies were very busy picking up poop and handling dogs and didn't have a lot of time to get the word out about these wonderful dogs. Back in the early days when we started, greyhounds were thought of as being not suitable for adoption because they were thought of as being vicious dogs. Back then, you know, people would see them racing at the racetrack with muzzles on and immediately assume that they were vicious. It took the efforts of about 300 adoption groups in the United States to change that that feeling for, about the dogs. And these days, about 15 to 18,000 greyhounds are adopted by people around the country every year.
That's great.
I love them.
Me too.
Love them.
Yeah, they're very sweet animals. So Michael, I've worked with several really lovely greyhounds over the years, and I would describe most of them as couch potatoes. Do you think these dogs would make good pets for older people?
They tend to be, yeah, couch potatoes is a good term for them. We call them 40-mile-an-hour couch potatoes. And they do need exercise like any breed of dog, but they tend to, they're sprinters. They're not long-distance runners. So one little good run in the yard a day, or a nice walk a couple of times a day, and they're pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sleep most of the day, and but they make great pets for older people. Yes, they
okay.
do. I'm kind of older myself.
Right, so am I.
I've got five of them in the house right now.
Wow, five! Holy moly! Okay, so Karen, do you have another question?
Yeah, I do have a question. You were talking earlier about that the dogs wear muzzles when they're racing. Does that mean they'll always have to be muzzled around other dogs?
No. The reason they're muzzled at the racetrack is greyhounds have very thin skin, and they're very competitive when they race. So, any dog can nip when they're being competitive with one another, and one little nip could result in a tear to the skin, which results in stitches and maybe some time off from racing. So that's why they're muzzled at the track. They tend to be very calm and easygoing at home. Most of them are great with other pets. Some can be even trusted with cats. I have a friend who has five cats and three greyhounds, and they all get along great. So.
Yeah, I just recently worked with a client, and she had a greyhound. Oh, forget it. I fell in love with this dog. It broke my heart to leave. But unbelievable, really, just so gentle and so sweet. But, man, they're beautiful to watch run. I mean, she runs in the yard. They have a big yard. It's like she's uncomfortable with slippery surfaces, so they have carpets all over the house, like all these throw carpets. But in the yard, which is all grass except for one small walkway that goes to the pool, she'll sprint around, and when she gets to the walkway, she'll leap over it like a gazelle. I mean, it's hysterical. But they have five cats, and she's great with the cats.
Well,
you can see when she goes out in the yard, she's scanning the yard for a squirrel or something. So, you know, it's very serious business. Predatory.
They can, you know, some of them are very keen, especially outside. Usually indoor cats are fine, but if they see a cat running around outside, it could be a problem. So, greyhounds do very well in fenced areas. They're sight hounds, though, so if they see a plastic bag floating in the wind, or a squirrel or a rabbit, they can be gone in a heartbeat. And at 40 miles an hour, they can get a long way away from you in no time at all.
So, in other words, they would be capable of jumping a fence if they were given that opportunity.
They're typically not jumpers.
Okay.
I have a 4-foot fence in one side of my yard, and the rest of the yard is 6-foot fences. But they've never. I've had over 250 greyhounds of my own and foster dogs over the years, and I've never had one jump the fence ever.
Really good.
Oh yeah,
that's great. So there is something that I found on when I was doing my research before our show, and there's something called the Greyhound Amber Alert. What is that?
Well, that's another one of my pet projects.
Okay.
Some people, greyhounds, when they get loosed, tend to get lost. So we suggest that people, when they have a greyhound, either keep their dog on a leash or in a fenced area.
Mm-hmm.
For a greyhound, when they see a gate open, much like when they see a trap open at the track,
right,
they run through it.
Right.
And when they do, something like 70% of the lost greyhounds we have were because of an open gate.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had left the pet gate open in their yard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tracked something like 1,400 lost greyhounds in the last few years around the country using the Greyhound Amber Alert Forum and the Greyhound Amber Alert on Facebook. And most of them we find, but tragically, some of them get hit by cars or by trains, or some have even fallen through the ice in the wintertime and not made it. So we do everything we can to let people, new adopters, know that these guys really need to be in a fenced area or on a leash at all times.
So suppose...
I'm sorry,
Karen.
I'm going to pop in real quick.
That's okay.
Does the rescue groups that rescue the greyhounds, do they microchip them before they adopt them out, or is that the responsibility of the owner? Because I would imagine it's probably a good idea that these dogs do get microchipped.
Well, if they're a retired racing greyhound, they all have identification in their ears. They're all tattooed by the National Greyhound Association when they're racing. So they have their date of birth in one ear and their litter number in the other ear. So they're all easily identified through those numbers. A lot of greyhound adopters will microchip their dogs as well as added security. But when we have a lost greyhound, typically they aren't turned up by somebody else. Usually it's going to be a search of the greyhound adopter that will turn up the dog. They will often not go to a stranger when they're off running loose like that.
Well, as far as these identification tattoos, I mean, if the greyhound wound up, let's say, being caught by a neighbor who wasn't aware that there was even a greyhound in the neighborhood, and they took the dog to a shelter, is a shelter commonly going to know to look in the ears? Would a vet commonly know to look in their ears for identification?
Most vets, most shelters do know that, but you know, you always have the obvious. It's always better to go and not only have tags on your dogs, but have the microchip if possible. But you know, because you're always going to run into that situation where somebody doesn't know enough to look in the dog's ear for identification. Those dogs can be tracked in the National Greyhound Association with a phone call. You can find out who the racing owner is, and then from the racing owner you can find out what adoption group the dog ended up with.
Right.
Now, I understand that you can't get a greyhound. Like, if you wanted to get a greyhound puppy, this is what I heard, that you can't get a greyhound puppy, that they're only available through the rescues. Is that true?
Well, there are only about... there are very few greyhound, AKC greyhounds bred every year. I think it's less than 100 every year in the United States. So there are very few show dogs. Most of the other greyhounds in the United States are currently, they're breeding about 20,000 puppies a year for racing. Now some of those puppies are for one reason or another are not able to be raced, so those become available. But there's always a run on on greyhound puppies. Whenever they become available, they're snapped up in a heartbeat. So it is very difficult to find a greyhound puppy. But we find that the retired racers, who typically are around 3 years old, they're leash trained. They're kennel trained. They're not house trained yet, but they are kennel trained. So they're easily trained in the house. They act a lot like puppies in some ways. They've never seen things like stairs. So you have to train them how to climb stairs. Mm-hmm. They've never seen floor to ceiling windows. So if you don't train them about windows, they'll walk right through one.
Oh my.
So you have to train them as if they were a puppy when they're an adult dog, because there are a lot of things that they've never been exposed to before. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of puppy-like when they come to your house.
Yeah, I find that too in my business. I find that every time I work with a greyhound, they're just the sweetest dog.
Ah.
They really are.
The best.
Yeah.
Greenie, I'd like to take a break, if that's okay, that you can share with our listeners the services that you offer in the South Jersey area.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer. Does she chew classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age? All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. We're talking with Michael McCann, who actually, I believe you founded the Greyhound Project. Is that correct, Michael?
No, I came to the Greyhound Project about 7 years after it was founded.
I see.
The first generation of Greyhound Project rescuers, there's only two left on our board. We have a board of eight.
Mm-hmm.
There's just two of them left. But they were very, very dedicated people, and we publish a magazine called Celebrating Greyhounds Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We publish four times a year, and we run a large website, and we do television commercials and radio commercials around the country promoting greyhound adoption, and
mm-hmm.
that's what we've been all about.
Wow.
Hey, Michael, before we go further, can I ask you a question? If according to breed-specific problems, is there any specific behavioral issues or medical issues that a future greyhound adoptee needs to know about?
Great question, Cameron.
Well, typically with retired racing greyhounds, sometimes they will have dental issues. A lot of times they've been fed a raw diet at the track. They haven't had a lot of chews, and some of them just have nasty teeth. So often when they come off the track, they'll need a dental as well as a spay or neuter when they come off the track. That's the big one. If they're going to have a disease, they don't suffer from things like hip dysplasia or some of the inbred diseases that you see in some of the purebred dogs.
Right.
You don't see hip dysplasia, but typically later in life you may see something called osteosarcoma, which is a long bone disease. A typical racing greyhound has a lifespan of around 12 to 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you adopt a three-year-old, you still got a good long time to have.
I have a very limited experience with greyhounds. I was talking with Rini right before the show, and she asked me if I trained many, and I said none. You know, I've never been called in to train a greyhound for any kind of specific problem or issue. But I could tell you, this one greyhound that I did take care of, the one thing that she loved is after she would run, she would stand in front of me and I would massage her thigh muscles.
I would love that too, Karen.
You know,
and they're hot. They get like hot to the touch.
You know,
it's amazing that
after they race, typically after they race, they get a massage after they race.
Oh, cool!
Karen. Oh, cool! I didn't know that. See,
yeah. So it's something they're used to and something they enjoy.
She loved it.
Yeah, they get rubbed down after they race, and sometimes in the hotter climates, they'll get cooled down in a pool before they. If you break out a one of those kiddie pools in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
you'll find it's a very popular item in the summertime.
That's a great idea.
They'll lay down right in those.
Oh, cool.
They won't fight over them, but they wait in line for the kiddie pool.
Oh, that's
every
great.
Day.
Yeah.
On those hot days.
What is your opinion of the racing industry for greyhounds? Do you feel that these dogs are often abused, or is that rare? How do you really feel how these dogs are handled?
You know, when we first started greyhound adoption, back in the 1980s, adoption of greyhounds was rare. And a typical greyhound would retire from the track at 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and immediately be put down or sent off to medical research.
Oh, my.
Those days, fortunately, are long gone. The racing industry has done a lot to redeem itself over the last 20 or 30 years, but as in any industry, you're going to have some people who don't do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Most greyhound owners these days adopt their greyhounds out and send them to and do a great job with their dogs at the track. Of course, there's always going to be the oddball, and those are the ones that you hear the horror stories about. And, it's just like the oddball in the breeding industry. You'll find some of those as well, but. We find most of the greyhound racing people these days are doing a good job finding homes for their dogs and doing a good job because they're raising athletes that have to perform for them if they want them to make the money.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but why are they so willing to give them up?
Well,
I don't understand that. Why are so many out there being surrendered to rescue groups? Are they, the owners don't want to keep them anymore?
When a greyhound is no longer competitive, these dogs are bred to make these people money.
Right.
And when they're no longer competitive, they're not making money on them anymore. It's time to cut your losses. So,
it's like the horse racing industry. What are you going to do with a big animal like that? Are you going to continue to feed it when it's not making money? It's all about money.
Yeah, it is about money, but the good thing is that those of us that love greyhounds end up with a very inexpensive purebred dog that just loves you, you know, and these guys really appreciate being retired.
Mm-hmm.
40 mile an hour couch potato is
right.
And if you let them on your couch once,
oh God,
over. You know,
that's right.
But, you have to train them from day one to stay off the furniture or they'll take over.
Michael, I have a question. I'm always lecturing my clients about the importance of early socialization with people, places, things, and other puppies and dogs. How often do you hear about a rescued greyhound becoming dog aggressive or becoming very fearful around other dogs that are not greyhounds?
It does happen, and usually, in the case of the dogs I've had, it usually happens after one of my dogs has been attacked by another dog. Mm-hmm. Often we walk our dogs in the neighborhood. Every day we've walked our dogs in the neighborhood, and sometimes we get attacked by an off-leash dog. For some reason, greyhounds tend to be the focus of it may be because of the way they hold their ears or tails when walking. Their ears are laid back, and it may be look aggressive to other dogs. I don't know, but when a greyhound is attacked, I had my very first greyhound, Teddy, who I had 17 or 18 years
ago. Oh, really?
Was attacked by a Chihuahua.
Oh.
I'm sorry, it was a little poodle, a little 5-pound poodle. This little poodle nipped at his heels and mm-hmm. he was, from that day on, he was terrified of that dog.
No.
5-pound dog, and then Teddy was 75 pounds.
Right. Well, see, size doesn't matter.
And every time he saw that little poodle, he would hide behind me, and he would shake and shiver, and it was just the funniest thing I saw. But typically, greyhounds will, if with other dogs in a household, for instance, they take the submissive role as opposed to the aggressive role.
Mm-hmm. What books would you recommend to people if they want to research this breed, if they're thinking about adopting a retired racing greyhound? What books would you recommend for people to purchase to read more about them?
Probably the primer, the first book out that was written by Cynthia Branigan, Branigan, is called Adopting the Racing Greyhound. And in that book, you get a little bit of history of the greyhound. You find that people such as Custer had greyhounds, and he ran his greyhounds the day before the little bighorn. And, you know, there's a little history of them, and there's a history of racing, and there's some things about, you know, what to look for, you know, and how to train your dog and so on in the home. And, that's a good one. There's another one called, a retired racing greyhounds for dummies.
Right, that's one I know.
That's also a good one. That's by Lee Livingood. Mm-hmm. And both of those people live in the Philadelphia area. They're not too far from you. So.
Right.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What kind of games do these dogs like? Like, what really gets them? What really rocks their boat?
You know, they're unlike, you know, typically they will chase things.
Uh-huh.
But you got to teach them to bring them back. These guys aren't retrievers.
No, they're not retrievers. But they do like to chase things. But
yeah,
I mean, I know this one. I'm basing all my experience on this one greyhound experience. Judging the whole breed, but she, you know, she loved to be like chased after. Like she liked to play keep away, and you know, it's, you know, run past me and then turn around and dart towards me at like 40 miles an hour and just miss me. Like she really enjoyed that. I mean, is that something that's normal?
Yeah, we find that sometimes we have to teach the adopters, when your greyhound is running straight at you like that, don't move, because
right,
you're always going to move the wrong way.
Oh, my.
And if they hit you at 40 miles an hour, it ain't fun.
Let me tell you, they are.
Yeah,
all muscle, these dogs. Amazing.
A lot of times what I do is I make what's called a lure pole, which
mm-hmm.
is about an 8-foot pole with about a 5-foot spring at the end, and I tie a stuffed animal at the end of the spring.
Right.
They love chasing the lure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that they've been trained on since they were puppies, and they just love chasing that lure.
Lure coursing, right?
Lure coursing, that's right. There is a sport that they put sighthounds into, and it is lure coursing. So that would be a very good activity if the people who adopted the greyhound had that kind of energy where they wanted to enter their dogs into that type of activity. I think that would be great.
Yeah, we caution people that when they're doing lure coursing, it should be something that you just don't do once a month. You know, you've got to keep your dog in shape.
Correct.
And so you have to use a lure at home, and you have to continually exercise the dog, because a lure coursing course can be a quarter of a mile or more,
mm-hmm.
and a dog running flat out at a quarter mile that's out of shape can really...
absolutely, get injured.
So you really have to concentrate on keeping your dog in shape if you're going to lure coast your dog.
Okay. Michael, can you give out your website and other places where people can find out more about the Greyhound Project and also about Adopt a Greyhound Month?
Sure. Our website, you can go to www.thegreyhoundproject.org, and on our website is a list of every adoption agency in New Jersey, every adoption agency in the country.
Okay.
Wow. So you can go to the agencies tab on our website and find an adoption agency no matter where you are. And it also has links to adoption agency information and all kinds of information about greyhounds and about how to adopt them and what to look for and what to expect when you get them home.
Well, thank you very much for joining us in the doghouse today. I appreciate it. I think Karen and I are both fans of this breed, and if anybody is, you know, interested in adopting them, to please go to your website and do your research. Just like with any other breed, you should do your research. Don't just get the dog and then say, "Oh my God, I didn't know he was going to do that," which is really bad planning.
Right.
So, you know, for the sake of the dog and for the sake of the happiness of everybody in the family, research is the first thing you ought to be thinking about doing. And Michael, I thank you very much for joining us, and continued success with your project. And, you know, if you have any announcements or anything you want to make in the future about greyhounds, please don't hesitate to give us that information or come back on and we'll talk more about greyhounds.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank
have a
you
great
very
day.
Much. Everybody go out and adopt a greyhound.
Oh, God. if only, right?
Yeah.
So I hope everybody joins us back here next Thursday from 10 to 10:30 on WNJC 1360 AM. From 10 to 10:30, and Karen and I are going to be talking about some more behavior issues. That's our favorite topic. We don't have a guest next week, so maybe you'll decide to call in. We always ask people to call in and tell us what's going on with your own dogs. So get your dogs out today. It's a lovely day. It's nice and warm. Get those dogs out for walks. And Karen and I will be talking to you again next week. Talk to you later. Have a great day. Bye-bye.